Studio 360.
Bass notes are viscous, woodsy, long-lasting notes that tend to wear on the skin and stay on the skin.
This is Thani Nandini Islam, a perfumer and writer who, like all writers and all artisanal perfumers, lives in Brooklyn, New York.
The heart note is basically the heart of the perfume. It's the main story. And then for the top, you have the most volatile, easily evaporated notes that invite you, call you into the story. It's like the first flirtation into the story.
Thani has published one well-received novel, Bright Lines, and is working on her second. But as a perfumer, she also concocts ephemeral stories of a kind for her fragrance and beauty business called High Wildflower. And we had heard that she recently experimentally merged those two parts of her life, creating scented candles, in fact, inspired by contemporary novels. We wanted to see and smell how that works, how she transmutes literature into a perfume. So we asked Thani if she'd create a literature-inspired scent just for us and walk us through that process. You're probably familiar with the book she picked, Toni Morrison's 1987 Pulitzer Prize-winning novel, Beloved.
124 was spiteful, full of a baby's venom. The women in the house knew it, and so did the children. For years, each put up with the spite in his own way. But by 1873, Setha and her daughter, Denver, were its only victims.
Beloved is a magical, realist ghost story set in Ohio after the Civil War. It's about this former slave named Setha, her daughter Denver, her long-dead other daughter Beloved, and her complicated past. I went with Thani to her apartment in Williamsburg, Brooklyn, so I could watch and smell as she created this literary perfume.
Welcome to my humble abode.
Thank you.
It's very intimate.
We're sitting at a wooden table where Thani has dozens of glass bottles. They're tiny, an ounce or so apiece. Some clear, some dark brown, all with black caps. Very old-time apothecary. These are the concentrated scents, smells derived from flowers and trees and nature, and some of them synthetic ones, chemical recreations of pretty much any smell imaginable.
Okay, I need to just get in my zone for 1 second.
She's also got a stack of special paper strips that she uses to sample and sniff each scent, each note, as she says, putting a drop of the liquid on one end of the paper and then scribbling the name of that scent on the other end. As she builds toward the perfume, she'll fan the strips out in her hand, adding new ones, removing others, and occasionally wave them under her nose to decide how they work together. So with this beloved scent, how do you begin? Did you read the book again?
Oh, yeah. I wanted to read the book. I always have my little journals to write notes in. And I was just like, I'm just going to write down what touches me. And that's it. And I literally just page after page of just old factory notes.
Yes.
Because I want to not just make this out of my own ideas. I mean, I think the ego needs to kind of disappear when you're making any work of art to let love and life in. So I was like, I just want to know what she had to say.
As for the rest, she worked hard to remember as close to nothing as was safe. Unfortunately, her brain was devious. She might be hurrying across a field, running practically, to get to the pump quickly and rinse the chamomile sap from her legs.
So the first note that popped out of page 6 was she might be hurrying across a field and the sap from the chamomile on her legs. And so I have chamomile. And this is blue chamomile, and you'll see how blue it is because of the azulene.
It almost looks black.
So that
Whoa.
Scent of chamomile is just so invigorating and intoxicating, but the sap, you can smell the sappiness of it, the sweetness of it, the honeyness of it.
It's like food. I mean, you want to eat it.
Yeah. Yeah. Like tea. So I wanted, so that's one note that came up for me. Yeah.
Nor was there the faintest scent of ink or the cherry gum and oak bark from which it was made. Nothing.
As you're reading it, Seth is really talented at making ink. So I really wanted to kind of get into the more woodsy notes. Ink would be made with like cherry gum, oak bark, like things that are really thick and viscous. So I have this blood red cedar. You'll see how inky that is. And it's just like...
Jeez. Smells sort of...
How's that nose doing?
Dangerous. It's fine. But it smells like something that, you know...
So you see that color.
It would have skull and crossbones on the bottle, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Given that, again, the nature, the overall nature of the novel, apart from individual scenes of running into chamomile.
Mm-hmm.
Did you begin by saying, oh, there's ghostly things that go on in this... novel, and you know, does that inform the sense you choose to make it with?
So I definitely walked away with wanting to create the sense of rain, mud, mother's milk, blood. So those are the notes. So whatever makes it smell like those four things is the perfume we're gonna get.
Okay.
So that's where we're going.
Okay.
So
let's
to
talk
me,
about
this
those.
Is already having like a rainy, muddy, earthy moment.
I'll buy that. I'll totally buy that.
Right?
Yep.
So now let's go in a different direction.
And suddenly, there was Sweet Home, rolling, rolling, rolling out before her eyes. And although there was not a leaf on that farm that did not make her want to scream, it rolled itself out before her in shameless beauty. It never looked as terrible as it was, and it made her wonder if hell was a pretty place too.
So I have some grass options. So grass, to me, really evokes Sweet Home, where she had been enslaved by the gardeners. So I have sweet grass. And this, to me, has that kind of nostalgic...
Sweet Home being the plantation.
Yes. Has that nostalgic quality.
Oh, yeah. That's a very... I mean, this is the most completely pleasant scent you've wafted near me.
And it's a heart note, so it's a little bit lighter. You have more space to
kind of... So everything is classified as heart or base or top?
Base or top, yeah.
Oh.
And then there's this one moment where her lover, Sethi's lover, Paul D., he had kind of escaped... into Delaware, found this woman, the first black woman whose house he could get into, and became lovers with her.
Later, when he saw pale cotton sheets and two pillows in her bedroom, he had to wipe his eyes quickly, quickly, so she would not see the thankful tears of a man's first time. Soil, grass, mud, shucking, leaves, hay, cobs, seashells, all that he'd slept on. White cotton sheets had never crossed his mind.
Paul D. describes the comfort of laying in hay as the only comfort he'd known before he understood what it felt like to sleep in some cotton sheets. So I was just kind of interested in finding something that would hint at that hay note, because I think hay is a little bit more evocative as a scent.
Yeah. Wow, that's...
So that's natural. It's hay.
It's really hay-like.
Mm-hmm.
Then she did the magic, lifted Seth's feet and legs and massaged them until she cried salt tears.
That really, for me, when Amy Denver, the white woman who I guess is an indentured servant, she basically rubs Seth's feet and makes her cry. And I was like, oh, the balm of someone rubbing your feet when you're beaten and being chased by evil white people and you need succor, and this woman is giving it to you, this horrible woman who's kind of racist to you is giving it to you. It's really deep, you know? So I was like, we need to have that moment. So tears. I wanted to produce tears. So I have two accords.
A chord means like a chord, basically? A small combination?
Yeah, exactly. Two to five. This is salt clean. I don't really know what makes it clean.
I love it.
And this is dry salt. They're not natural. They're aroma chemicals.
And this is sort of sweeter. What is it?
That one, so we did salt, clean salt, and this is dry salt. So this is a little bit more dry on the nose.
I had milk, she said. I was pregnant with Denver, but I had milk for my baby girl. I hadn't stopped nursing her when I sent her on ahead with Howard and Bugler. Anybody could smell me long before he saw me.
It's very hard to, I mean, you can create milk and recreate mother's milk, but I wanted to kind of bring a different spin to it. So that is jasmolactone. So anytime there's the word lactone, obviously, in an aroma chemical, there's a milky note, but it's with jasmine. So it's this milky, buttery, waxy jasmine.
It, definitely buttery, waxy. I get that.
This is a natural isolate called gamma-dodecalactone.
Kind of fruity.
Yeah, and a little buttery. And then the carnival is experience that the three characters, Seth, Paul, Dee, and Denver, have to kind of broker a peace accord between Paul, Dee, and Denver. So this scene, there's so many notes in that section, you know, horse, hound, licorice, peppermint, lemonade, sweetbread, honey, beeswax, molasses, taffy. I mean, that's all in a carnival. And when you go to a carnival, it does feel like that. You're like candied apples, funnel cake. So I think it really is one of the moments of levity in the book.
The happy one was Paul Dee. He said howdy to everybody within 20 feet. Made fun of the weather and what it was doing to him, yelled back at the crows, and was the first to smell the doomed roses.
And yet this undertone of rotten roses.
The closer the roses got to death, the louder their scent, and everybody who attended the carnival associated it with the stench of the rotten roses. It made them a little dizzy and very thirsty, but did nothing to extinguish the eagerness of the colored people filing down the road.
So good. It's like death is right there. So to me, the artificial rose, which is not as good as the real rose, I think has that kind of like overly ripe rose scent where it's so good it's disgusting. Mm-hmm. So that's a rose.
That's really nice.
Yeah.
I just wear that by itself.
So this is the one that really made me think, okay, carnival, rotten rose.
Sure.
Okay, so this is, well, why don't you smell it and tell me? I just like to know what people think when they...
I would say both cinnamony and metallic, and I don't know, what is it?
It's honey accord. So this, to me, really draws into Beloved when she comes back as this...
Spoiler alert!
I mean, if you haven't read it, please read it today. It's her obsession with sweet stuff and honeyed things. So for me, honey, milk, you know, mother's milk, honey, rose, that's the heart of this story. That's the beauty of this story. It's a mother-daughter story. I wanted to incorporate African notes to pay homage to the place where people were stolen from. The notes that I have from Africa are African bluegrass, so I want you to compare that to the sweetgrass, the American sweetgrass.
Oh, wow. God, I love all these grass and hay ones.
So that's like my way of creating a little accord. Mm-hmm. With the sweetgrass to kind of bring the American sweetgrass and the African bluegrass together. So then we take the salt, and then you smell these three together, and you're gonna like that too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you're already feeling it, and then you're getting excited, and you're like, okay, this is a great perfume, I'm feeling it. So then we wanna deepen this, because it's a little too light and bright. So then we wanna get this blood cedar. So you're getting this light, bright grass salt, and it ends in this deep, viscous, like cedar note.
Yeah.
So then I'm going to add the mother's milk component.
Thunny is building toward the first draft of her beloved perfume. She adds another scent to the group and smells, and then another and smells again until she's got about 10 sticks.
I think we got it. Okay. Hold it like that and just smell it.
Okay. She hands me the bouquet of strips. I flick them around under my nose. And yes, all those very distinct components do kind of miraculously coalesce into a cohesive, complex scent.
So that's our perfume for Beloved.
That's great.
To me, the most salient factor that I'm going after is the energy of the book, which is ghostliness, ascension. And to me, rain and mud and blood, like going to the materials, evokes that. You know, we as writers, we're always grappling with, like, is this dead and pointless, you know? So I think, of course, Miss Morrison's work will never be dead and pointless, but does it live on in every capacity? So to me, this is like a heightened form of fan fiction almost, you know? It's just an homage to greatness in a novel, but also like going sentence by sentence to extricate the most beautiful olfactory moments was like such a pleasure for me.
You can find Thani Nandini Islam's fragrances, candles, and other products at highwildflower.com. And her novel, Bright Lines, at booksellers. Excerpts from the audiobook of Beloved were read by Toni Morrison.